let's consider this. Russia and China carry out all the nasty spyware attacks on UK, US, and the European Union. That's right, isn't it? That's what we're told. Well, no, as we've been highlighting here at the UK column and Vanessa as well for several years now, it's Israel which is the biggest threat to our personal privacy and our so-called democracies, because Israel has their own equivalent of GCHQ and the NSA, and it's called Unit 8200. So Unit 8200, the Israeli Defense Forces Signals Intelligence Unit, is not just a signals intelligence unit. It's also a cyber warfare operation, having run a number of operations, for example, the Stuxnet virus, which disabled the nuclear centrifuges in Iran, Operation Orchard, which is from 2007, in which Unit 8200 most probably jammed Syrian radar systems without alerting air defense operators in order to allow for a precise airstrike against Syrian nuclear facility at Deir ez-Zor, the Agero incident, in which the Lebanese government blamed Israel for having launched a sophisticated cyber attack on the on Lebanon's telecommunications company Agero, to spread disinformation through audio messages to over 10,000 Lebanese citizens. Now, those could be argued to be military applications, but we have to remember that Unit 8200 also seed funds tech companies, including, well, this one, Checkpoint, and also Palo Alto Networks, many others. I just choosing these two as an example for a number of reasons. But if we look at Checkpoint first, and remind ourselves that Gil Shved is the co-founder and chief executive of Checkpoint. He's Israel's eighth richest billionaire, reportedly worth $4.7 billion. And of course, there is Dr. Dora Dorr, who's chief technology officer at Checkpoint, is also responsible for Checkpoint's rocket initiatives. Former chief product officer, and both of these people were former Unit 8200 seed funding this company and so on. Now, in 2016, Checkpoint teamed up with Israeli arms company Israel Aerospace Industries to form a consortium called IC3, and that was established by the Israeli government's Ministry of Economy, and it was set up to, quote, address technological cyber needs at a national and governmental level. And IC3 offers end-to-end solutions for national cyber systems. Now, coming back to Checkpoint and their activities, they are everywhere. They are providing firewalls for just about for many, many corporations around the world. They're in local councils. They're in the NHS. They're everywhere. And so I'm going to ask the question, can anybody think of a better source for bulk data collection than a company selling appliances, which process every single packet of information as it passes between corporate government networks and the internet and so on? Now, to be clear, I've no direct evidence that Checkpoint is doing this, but I am asking the question, and I think it's a question that needs to be answered. And the same question, in fact, that some, including the likes of Edward Lucas and many others who are pushing a pro-Israeli and an anti-Russian narrative, particularly an anti-Chinese narrative, have been asking about Huawei. And so the other question I have is, if Huawei is viewed as a threat to national security, then why not Checkpoint? So why am I talking about this now? Well, another Unit 8200 spawned company is this one. This is the NSO Group. NSO creates technology that helps government agencies prevent and investigate terrorism and crime to save thousands of lives around the globe. Well, that sounds wonderful. But of course, they don't just work with governments, as we'll come on to in a second. Now, in June 2023, Vanessa reported on this program that NSO Group's Pegasus software had been used to hack the phones of journalists in France, including a senior member of staff at France 24. And the fact that that hack had happened was made public by a French non-profit media organization called Forbidden Stories, who were working with Amnesty International, and they had obtained a list of 50,000 telephone numbers that had been compromised by clients of NSO Group who had bought access to the Pegasus software. Now, the hack itself worked by exploiting a vulnerability in WhatsApp, which meant that the spyware could be installed on the target phone by simply making a phone call to that phone. The phone call didn't even need to be answered by the person who was being attacked by this. Now, yesterday, then, a jury in a US court has decided that enough is enough, and they have fined NSO Group $167 million in punitive damages. The jury also awarded WhatsApp $444 million in compensation, which is, in a sense, pretty disgusting, since all of that money will go to Meta and not will go to the people who receiving are on the receiving end of the hacks. Now, WhatsApp said today's verdict in WhatsApp's case is an important step forward for privacy and security, as the first victory against the development and use of illegal spyware and threat that threatens the safety and privacy of everyone. Today's jury decision forces NSO, a notorious foreign spyware merchant, to pay damages as a critical deterrent to this malicious industry against our, against their illegal acts aimed at American companies and the privacy and security of the people we serve. So it's quite interesting that they don't mention Israel directly in that press release. They just call them as a foreign spyware company. Now, the first step, in fact, perhaps would have been not to leave the security hole in WhatsApp in the first place. But in fairness to WhatsApp and Meta, they did act quickly when the vulnerability was eventually discovered. They rolled out a software update and they patched the vulnerability. They notified target users that their devices had been hacked. And then in the following weeks, Facebook and WhatsApp also removed NSO employees from their platforms. Now, it should be pointed out that NSO Group wasn't exactly discerning about who they sold access to the software to. Customers, in fact, included governments, but also criminal cartels, which is, as The Guardian reports here, resulted in the death of at least one journalist in Mexico. So, you know, that, I think this is a big story, the fact that NSO Group has been sanctioned in this way. It could go even further. It could be argued that NSO Group's activities, the fact that they're selling Pegasus, or they had been selling Pegasus to not only governments, but also criminals, certainly leaves them open to sanction, much broader sanctions, if it had been anything other than an Israeli company. So, Vanessa, bearing in mind that NSO Group is supported by the Israeli government and their software has been deployed against civilians in the West, you would think, as I say, that a stronger response would have been coming. I just would like to get your thoughts on why governments are silent on this, why Meta's silent on the fact that it's an Israeli company. And, you know, are governments silent on this because they were customers of NSO Group? I just find it incredible that there's nothing, really, no broad coverage of this at all.
Well, again, I think we have to ask the question, who are our government working for and whose national security are they protecting? It becomes clear that they're not protecting British citizens' national security, because they're allowing what is now a state conducting a genocide and has been for 100 years to store our DNA, to collect data on us, to surveil us, to collaborate on projects within the national health sector in the UK and in the EU and in the US. So to what degree are we looking at state capture here? And why has our government, not only the current one, but preceding ones, why have they allowed such state capture to such an extent? This is what people should be extremely worried about, because I would guarantee it would be interesting to do a survey on how many 8200 companies are now involved in UK sectors across the country.
Yes, it is incredible. I mean, the China comment, the Huawei comment is a valid question. Why are we so worried about Huawei and China and we don't care, apparently, about Israel? Is this because of the sixth eye?
I think for a raft of reasons, but we seem to live in an age, we've discussed it many times, where no criticism of Israel, either direct or indirect, is to be tolerated. I think that's part of it. I think also in terms of the sanctioning, it'd be interesting to see what does happen, bearing in mind how we've looked at the pharmaceutical industry for years and years and years, and every single time there's a knockback, it makes absolutely no difference, either in the confidence that people have to take their products or the sort of eagerness with which governments will entangle themselves with them. So I don't know whether this will make much of a difference in the bigger picture. We'll see.